Welcome to the Dirt Bike Reader Podcast. Lukey Hayes, Lord of Grogtown, the Mayor of Grogtown. We sit down with him for this episode post Jamalca 2024. It's so cool to see the Des Lord in something a bit different. He does deep well and other cool races, Hatter and things like that, but to see him at Jamalca ripping the big 500 was really cool, and I think it was a cool way for him to get ready for a big season. He has a lot planned this year, so massive thanks to Lukey for sitting down and chatting with us. I think it was also cool to hear his perspective in regards to riding and racing and getting back into something that he loves and just enjoying it in general and hearing what his plans are for the season. So it's a cool breakdown for this race. We will be doing Ben Grabham, but you gotta wait. It's a special episode that I'm really prepping for. So for now, Lukey Hayes, absolute lord. Go follow him. He's got so much coming on this year. Think rallies. I mean, it's just never ending with the boy. So, Lord of Grogtown, check him out. Massive thanks to our supporters as well. B&B Off-Road, On Point Motor Suspension, Whole Shot Graphics, Acherby's Australia, Adventure On Store. You know, go follow them. On Point Motor Suspension did some awesome stuff for me just recently. So, we will be at Transmoto Tumut next weekend, and then we're at Kosciuszko in like 3 weekends time after that. So it's gonna be busy. Come find us. I have some merch available. Only like you have to find me in person. I don't know how to do online. I'm not very good at this stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. So thanks for listening. Go follow Lukey Hayes. Find him. Enjoy him. J A Edits does a whole bunch of cool stuff for him, so go check that out with Underclass as well. Lukey Hayes, you're the Lord. Cheers. Welcome to the Dirt Bike Reader Podcast. My name is Jeremy, and this is season 5 of this crazy podcast that we started so long ago. Myself and Alex are the hosts, and we appreciate your time. And everyone that gets on this podcast, we share stories from desert racing, flat track, hard enduro, regular enduro, all forms of motorcycles. We try and bring everyone together and have a yarn. Really just share the stories, get everyone pumped for a weekend, or recap on what just happened over the weekend. There's so much racing in Australia, and we're very proud to be a part of it and to bring you it. So thank you for tuning in. Like in life, we get a bit excited. The guests get a bit excited. It's a bad language can come out. It's unfortunate. We do apologize if you don't like bad language, but shit happens. Thanks to the amazing support we have from not only you, the fans, but companies here in Australia. We wouldn't be able to make this happen. So thank you. Please remember to share all the episodes that you like, because it doesn't just give us the exposure, but it gives the riders the exposure. And that's what they really need. We need to get the events out there. We need to get the riders out there so we can bring more attention to them and help them grow their career. So once again, welcome to season 5. Hope you enjoy. Strap in. It is going to be an epic year. And get after it. Cheers. Lukey Hayes, what's going on, my friend?
Nah, not a great deal, mate. Just perched up at home and got some bikey boys hanging out the front by the sounds. Hey, mate, it's a wild neck of the woods, as I'm sure everyone's aware, but it's home, so.
And it's a beautiful home it is, mate. But you've just had a massive weekend, Jamalca. How did you find it?
Yeah, mate, really enjoyed it. It was cool to just get away. Tumby Bay is a gorgeous part of the country. Yeah, you know, we were perched up down there, and the race was awesome. Second year of the event, I feel like it's
very dusty.
The conditions were intense. I mean, the first 13 k's around where the pits, you know, from the start to the pits, super condensed in there. So, lots of zigzagging back and forth. Ben, the fella who's made the track, couldn't have jammed any more turns, I reckon, into his 60 kilometres. So condensed, you know, there was times where you're zigzagging back and forth and you might have a, 4 or 5 minute lead on someone and you sort of nearly brush shoulders with them out there just so it turns back on itself. So, super dusty, but, you know, it was just a relief, mate. It's been 40 plus here since about November. So to get down into some weather that was mid 20s, I was, pretty stoked.
You had to wear a jumper, mate. I think I saw a couple of photos you wearing a jacket.
I did have to put a hoodie on, and it was still probably over 20 degrees, and everyone down there is pretty acclimatized to that. But that was freezing for me, mate. It's been a hot summer, so you had to break the hoodie out.
And then didn't that hoodie get stolen as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, after all in all, sort of pretty positive weekend. Dave, CBS, and come down with me to lend a hand. And we decided to shoot to Port Augusta pretty much straight after presentation, just to make the drive back to Alice the next day, you know, a bit less arduous. And yeah, got up at 3 in the morning or whatever it was to drive home. And Dave's like, "Oh, mate, the van's been smashed into." And he's pretty good at being sarcastic. I almost thought he was taking the piss a bit, but no, he was like, "No, I'm serious." So I went out there and yeah, some fellas from Port Augusta, you know, someone out there decided they wanted my Lords of Grogtown hoodie more than I did, and so smashed into the van and fleeced that, and a couple of other little bits and pieces. We were pretty blessed that none of the, you know, the real sort of heavy equipment got pinched. No bikes or anything, but yeah, an iPad and some bits and bobs. So yeah, so now there's someone sketchy getting around out there with my hoodie on. And,
sketchier yeah. than a Lord of Grogtown. What's more sketchy than a guy wearing a Lord of Grogtown shirt, a jumper?
It's pretty hard to narrow down because a lot of us are pretty sketchy too. So I don't know really sort of how you determine who's wearing it, but someone out there's got it on. So at least hopefully they're getting a run out of it anyway.
Well, look, I mean, that's the end. Let's go back to the start, mate. It's been kind of a cool, exciting preseason, seeing you at JE Edits doing some cool stuff with Underclass, kind of coming out and doing some bike stuff for socials. You looked good and looked fast. How's it like to get back out racing again?
Oh, loving it, mate. Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a pretty cool start to the year so far. I sort of, yeah, didn't, you know, kind of go away and have the Christmas holiday deal. Just stayed home and knuckled down a bit on the bike and, you know, off the bike and just working and stuff, chipping away. But, yeah, you know, we sort of grinded our way and got a decent finish at Deep Well. And then, yeah, just sort of wanted to keep the mojo going. And this year really just looking to kind of do more gate drops and explore that sort of stuff. So, yeah, Jamalka came up and, you know, it's still a 15-hour drive away from here, but for us, you know, that's about as close as an event gets. So decided to make the most of it, mate, and pin down there and treated it as a bit of a training exercise, just you know, go out and stretch the legs. And I'd been in Perth and stuff for a few weeks leading into the event and hadn't had, you know, ample bike time in just the 3 or so weeks before the event, but had done a fair bit leading up to that. So yeah, went down there and had a bit of fun and good to catch up with the crew and see some familiar faces and, yeah, see how we stacked up.
Look, man, you're a desert lord. That's what we know you as. That's what we love you as. How was it like battling so many corners and flat corners?
Oh, look, I drove around the track with my mate Heans, James Heen, and he's another Alice lad who's down there sort of territory repping. And, we piled in a ute together and sort of checked the track out. And I got out there and I was like, oh, this isn't really what I anticipated, like a buggy track to be. But I guess when you think about the guy that Ben, I think his name is, that owns the land, he's a Can-Am driver, and a great training track for that. Great training track for us too. But yeah, very tight, mate. Very tight. A lot of flat, hard pack, rocky off camber turns, and definitely a long way from sort of the red sand and stuff I spend the majority of my time practicing on. So that was a bit intimidating for sure. And I knew that guys like Grabo and Brody with, you know, a bit of flat track background and a bit of, you know, road bike racing knowledge and that sort of stuff, I knew they'd be super on point in there. And I just, you know what, I was just like, oh, well, we'll just I can do it and see how we go. But yeah, I was almost getting dizzy, mate. weren't really sort of able to hang off the loud handle for too long. It was sort of pinned, and then you had to really be conservative on the brake, conservative on the throttle, and it was one of those tracks where it was challenging to make any time, but really easy to, you know, cock it up and lose heaps. So sort of had to be a bit conservative, and yeah.
Well, that's good though. That's that training you want.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like you never want to let your ego get in the way of, you know, riding stuff out of your comfort zone or anything. And, you know, I don't care if I go down there and it's not my strong point. I'm there to sort of be better and work on it. So, yeah, you know, it's a good training exercise and a good opportunity to, you know, improve on stuff that isn't really where I'm my strongest.
And did you kind of figure that out by the end of the weekend?
I feel like I figured it out bit, yeah, like as it went on, like the first lap obviously is a bit of nutting the track out and kind of going out there and not really knowing where you're going. You do get the sight lap in a car, but looking at something at 140 is different to looking at it at 40. Although, you know, to be quite frank, we didn't get up to super high speeds heaps out there. But, yeah, I feel like the first lap was figuring out. The second lap on the first day, I had some dramas and sort of was preoccupied with that. And then from the last lap on day one and then on day two, I honestly started to really enjoy it. The track actually formed up a bit, got a bit rougher, which suits me. And, yeah, I ended up having fun out there. So it was a cool weekend.
That's what you want. And as you said, when it kind of forms up a bit rougher, I think that's where you kind of capitalize on it because you've got that Hadar and the Fink experience for that track to get up. Was it like kind of in the corners where it'd get rough up, like, you know, breaking bumps and accelerating bumps in the corners, or was it getting more rough in like the straight whooped out sections?
A lot of the corners held up not too bad just because it did have such a hard base. I mean, there were certainly some breaking bumps and stuff that formed up by the end of it, and we're sharing the track with cars, and so obviously they really break down that top layer of soil. But the stuff that formed up the best, in my opinion, was there was a small-ish sand section out the back. Some of the lads out there sort of referred to it as being a bit like Triggy's place, Trigg Farms.
Oh,
in
yeah.
So a bit like that white sort of, you know, formed up good. And then there was some other stuff sort of towards the end of the prologue loop, which was like this sort of grey, like heavy sort of black soil, like that was sort of around all the salt beds and stuff, and like obviously a bit of clay to it or something, but it was quite dense and almost a bit damp, and that stuff kind of formed up pretty good as well. But the hard pack stuff, I mean, yeah, it'd just get silty, and there was a lots of rocks and roots and random sort of bits and pieces poking out of it.
Mate, well, it's a real kind of, you know, puzzle work of different terrains all together to kind of keep you on your toes the whole race.
Yeah, you had to be on point. Yeah, you know, a little mistake could be quite costly, and the scrub was pretty dense in a lot of places. So, you know, if you did make a big error, like you weren't really just going to blow off the track and come back sweet. You were going to get tangled up in some stuff you didn't want to be tangled up in. And yeah, it was like definitely, you know, it was kind of like similar to Kalgoorlie in the way that it's quite scrubby on the outsides of the track, much tighter. And, you know, you'd almost look at it as being like 60 or 70% off-road and then, you know, 30, 40% desert race.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not like tree dodging, handlebar width sort of stuff, but yeah, just that, you know, third, fourth gear through substantial bits of it.
Well, it's interesting you compare it to, say, Hadar or even Kalgoorlie Desert Race, which are very unique races, especially coming from that deserty Fink stuff that you're kind of renowned for and known for. So do you think this is something in your future you want to start pursuing? I know you've done really well in rallying as well, but is this kind of off-roady racing a bit more up your alley, or are you going to stay with the desert and the rally?
Oh, mate, I just love riding my dirt bike.
yes, my man.
Yeah, so I'll go, you know, I'll go have a crack at more or less whatever, and, you know, even if I'm not going to go there and blow the doors off anyone, I just like riding. This sort of stuff is like I like different stuff, and there is an allure to that slower technical stuff. Like it appeals to me, and you know, it's a craft that I'd like to hone in. And so you know, I definitely wouldn't like say it's the last time I'm going to go there. Like I'd like to go back again, and stuff like off roads. You know, I've been eyeing off some of the GNCC events, and they sort of at the moment just some of the dates clash a little bit with some other commitments I got. But you know, that sort of stuff appeals to me. I'm not going to go there and you know, be a, you know, probably a trophy threat, but I'm going to go there and, you know, have some fun and pick up a few things along the way.
Absolutely. And as you said, like, it's just about riding the dirt bike. We're not always there to win it. We're just here to have some fun and kind of experience the tracks as well, and kind of see what our skills can be honed in on.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it's all like we do it because we love it, and I love riding different stuff. And, you know, sometimes the same gets monotonous, mate. You know, flavor is, variety is the spice of life. And, yeah, so getting out there and doing some different stuff, it just keeps your brain ticking and stops you getting stagnant. And, you know, that's one of the best parts of it.
And so then what does that mean for the rest of the year for you?
At the moment, I mean, so pretty much from now until Fink is, you know, pretty much the main commitment, racing wise and just preparation wise, you know, it's creeping up, always does. So we got, you know, probably about 90 odd days now, I think. And so, you know, that'll be here before we know it. And I know that there's a lot of other guys out there, you know, putting in the work and stuff too. So we're going to be angling towards that. And then in the back half of the year, you know, we'll sort of see what happens. You know, got stuff like the 12-hour here, obviously, which is cool. But, yeah, you know, the GNCC style events, or there's the Hardy 24, which I was going to do last year. And then I hurt my ankle in Fink and a couple of other stuff. You know, obviously the rally, I'm entered the Sunraysia again already for this year. And, yeah, want to get back behind the road books, mate, and definitely keep with that. That's I really, yeah, have quite a passion for that stuff. That's so much fun. So, yeah, you know, see where it takes us. At the moment, CBS Racing, Dave, who's, you know, an absolute legend, you know, he's, you know, pretty keen to kind of go and do sort of some different stuff, you know, if it works out for everyone. So, you know, anything that I can, you know, wrap my hands on, mate, I'll try and have a crack probably.
Absolutely. And could we see you potentially back in Kalgoorlie or even the Don River?
Kalgoorlie is definitely on the radar for this year. Don River, well, you know, from one end of the country to the other, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I think last year Don River clashed with the Sunraysia, and that's why it was off.
Yeah.
And I'd have to double check the dates again for this year, but I reckon if they don't clash, they're in super close proximity.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to sort of play that one by ear. Don River looks awesome. Looks right up my alley in a way, you know. So I'd like to go and definitely have a dig at that. But, you know, for now, you know, I'm pretty keen on, you know, taking up whatever rally sort of Australia has to offer, and you know, the Sunraysia is sort of the one that works out the best at the moment. So
yeah. There's, I think there's another couple that are coming opening soon, so it's going to be a exciting time for some rallying, and you kind of were able to cut your teeth last year and had a good run, and you've always been kind of surrounded by some amazing rally riders already, so to kind of keep stepping that up is something really cool and exciting to see where it goes for you.
Yeah, you know, I've been keeping my ear to the ground. I've heard a couple of murmurs that there is going to be a bit more sort of in the rally space. I'm very vague as to what that's going to look like, but I'm excited to hear it. And, you know, if that does eventuate, you know, that's more than likely going to be sort of the direction I go, I think, if that's becomes a, you know, a multi-event type thing in Australia. But, yeah, we'll see.
And then, I mean, lastly, the weekend was exciting. What was it like to watch kind of Grabo at full flight? Because I mean, he's one of those kind of old dogs that kind of just lingers in the background, and you kind of can be like, oh yeah, Grabo maybe past his prime, but then he can turn it on without you knowing, and it must be amazing to watch.
Oh mate, he's a phenomenon, you know. He's just living proof that you know, that there's that old saying that if you don't use it, you lose it, and he never really stopped using it. You know, he's never really sort of tapered off, and, you know, he comes on strong, and, you know, he's never one to be underestimated, and, you know, got a lot of time and respect for the bloke. And, yeah, you know, I know that, you know, that wherever he is, he's going to come in prepared. He's going to come in pretty strong, and he's going to bring a wealth of knowledge and experience. So, it's someone that you sort of just want to try and tack onto and pick up as much as you can and sort of soak it all in when you're in his presence. And, yeah, and then you sort of try and pull the helmet on race weekend and then, you know, try and sort of one up on him. But, no, he definitely had me covered with Malka. And, you know, it's cool to see, mate, honestly. He's, you know, I'm pretty sure he's sort of laid claim to just about anything desert-related in Australia at this point. And, you know, like that's pretty neat, and for him to still be out there and, you know, whooping ass is, it's impressive.
Absolutely. And like, you know, we've spoken before about kind of Grabo's one of those guys, I think he's won every event that he's kind of entered in at some point. And so for him to take this away is pretty amazing. But then, you know, I think when I spoke to him last, he kind of said that at the moment you're his inspiration because you beat him a couple of years ago at Fink, and then he came back and battling. So what's it like to know that Grabo is kind of using you as an inspiration to keep racing and getting faster?
Oh, you know, if that's the case, it's very humbling. You know, I never really...
Terrifying.
Yeah, I never even imagined that that would be, something on his mind at all. But, super humbling and, kind of spurs me on a little too in a way. And, yeah, we've in a way got a friendly rivalry. I've got one up on him and he's got a few up on me. So,
Just a few, mate.
yeah, just a handful. So, I'm hoping that, think this year we can turn the narrative back around. But, I don't know if it's going to be coming in like he always does, very prepared and very confident. So, we'll wait and see. But no, I just feel blessed that I'm able to rub shoulders with the bloke. And he's he's a guy that I looked up to, in my younger years and or earlier years, and still look up to him now. So
I know, and what makes it worse, he's actually a really nice guy too. It sucks so much. You're like, just be an asshole,
Yeah, sometimes you just want to hate a bloke and so you can, get a bit jungle about you, but, pretty hard to dislike. And, as is the case with, honestly, quite a few guys in this scene, everyone's got, a pretty cool temperament generally. And, Grabo's definitely a guy that, he's not very inflated or, very over the top. He's cool as a cucumber and just sort of, neat guy.
So there'd be a list of people that you want to thank as well, my friend. Who would they be? Because I mean, it takes a lot to get you racing, but also to all these events.
Absolutely, it does take a village. So obviously an enormous shout out to CBS Civil and CBS Racing. Without those guys, none of this would be achievable. Dave Lloyd, who made the trek all the way down there with me, mate. Jimmy Haynes and his Offside Sodas down there too. They gave us a hand. Paddy Geraghty gave us a hand over the weekend. Shout out to him. And then, obviously, Stephen Greenfield, GDR, mate. Yeah, the bike's rideable anywhere I go with it. He's the best man in the biz. Outback Heli Services, NT, Underclass Gear, the new gear's awesome. Go get yourselves a set. And, Autocorrect Automotive and Prime Designs, graphics, the bike looks really good. Asprint, Fuel Talk, Rexy, Bunbury KTM, Ram Metal Fabrications, and obviously the Lords of Grogtown, mate. So thanks to everybody.
Mate, it's awesome to see you out there. It's cool to see where you're going to head to. And I look forward to seeing your Fink and then at our Sunraysia, man, because I have big hopes for you, my friend. It's cool to see you going.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jez. Always appreciate your time, mate. Thanks for having me on. And, mate, we'll catch up again soon.
Sweet. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.